You're listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
I know you.
Wow.
Synchronized swimming, baby.
Deep cut. Martin Short.
It's so great. I love it. It's like we're doing the synchronized swimming, and then he just turns the camera and goes, I don't know how to swim.
I can't swim. I'm not that strong a swimmer. That's a classic one.
Harry Shearer and him.
Harry Shearer, yeah. Isn't it? I was going to say, what happened to that other
guy? Christopher Guest plays their
of course, their
coach.
I think he directed that skit, right?
It's so good.
Good times.
So where were you going with this?
Well, because you have your iPhone Nintendo case, your old classic. So you know how my shrine to video gamedom.
Yes.
With all my old consoles.
Yes.
And I had an old NES, but it didn't work anymore, so it was perfect to put in there. And the one thing it was missing, I didn't have the controller. So went to the mall this weekend and went to an old school.
Did you go to the mall today? Robin Sparkles?
No, it was. Let's go to the mall. No, it was over the weekend and just a random.
The CGX store. They have like one of those stores that has like all
I
the
think
old
that's
Nintendo
what it
stuff.
Is. Yeah.
Very good.
And I saw it and I was like, how much for that? And he was like, well, the A button's broken, so you can have it. And I was like, fuck, yeah.
He
so
just
score.
Gave it to you.
So because of that one thing, it was a great weekend. No, it was a great weekend regardless. But
good.
So now my collection is complete.
And now your collection is complete. Really? So you've got all the Nintendo consoles, all the Sega consoles.
Well,
you've got the Neo Geo in there.
I know what
I've... TurboGrafx-16.
Ooh, I did have a buddy who had one of those.
No, but do you have
Bonk the Caveman. Well, no, because I'm drawing the line. These are only consoles that I've owned in the
you
past.
You don't know. Then the collection isn't complete.
My collection is complete.
That's
They're
lame.
All. I'm not going to own every fucking... I'm not going to get
And you've got a broken NES controller. I'm not impressed.
It's for display, motherfucker. All the good ones I'm keeping. I'm using them.
We've got the Super Nintendo hooked up in the new place.
I saw your post.
Yes. Because
is that the only thing that's going to keep you in the nursery?
Because yes, thank you, Joel. because we haven't officially announced. We did announce it on MVP.
Oh shit.
But yeah, I guess we can go ahead and make it public here on the editing bay since Joel's already decided to let the cat out of the bag.
That's not the first time I've
thank
done that.
Thank you, sir. Thank
Whatever.
You so much.
No, let's
no,
start over.
No, why don't you tell me about the baby that's going to be
let's
born.
Start over. Well, no. It's going to be 3.2 pounds. Wow,
no,
3.2
so
pounds.
Yeah, no,
tiny.
My girlfriend and I, Sarah and I are we are expecting. We're going to have a little girl in July. Her name's going to be Harper Catherine.
I like that.
And we're looking very forward to be parents.
Now, the name after the author?
Yes.
Harper Lee?
Harper Lee.
Nice.
To Kill a Mockingbird is my favorite book. It's
is
the
it?
Most important book in my life.
Really?
It's influenced a lot of stuff for me.
Interesting.
And every time, you know, I think I've got the movie on every kind of medium available.
Wow.
I've seen it every time they've done like screenings here in town. The only thing I'm not like vehement about or more like passionate about is seeing the play. Like if people do the play, because man, you better be a damn good Atticus Finch.
And it's
for me to want to, and usually it's just some bad community theater guy.
Or like high school. I think we did that in high school.
Yes.
I was not a part of it, but.
Now, the ironic thing is Atticus Finch is one of my bucket roles. Like I really want to play Atticus Finch, but one, I'm not quite there yet age-wise. Atticus is described as being a little bit taller than I am.
Listen.
You know, a little bit leaner maybe.
Whatever.
And I still don't think I can quite get the voice.
What's specific about the voice?
Southern accent, man.
Oh, you don't think you can do the accent?
I don't think you are the king of voices. I don't think I could
we
do
have
him.
This podcast to prove it.
I don't think I could do that, though.
Interesting.
But I've always wanted to play Atticus Finch. I love To Kill a Mockingbird.
Bucket role. I've never heard that referred to as a bucket role.
The bucket
I like
list
that.
Role, yeah. Atticus Finch and Tevye.
But bucket from, role.
From Fiddler on the Roof.
Roll. Oh,
I seriously want to play.
Probably can't do that accent
can't
either.
Can't do
if
that
you can't
right
do
now.
Southern. Not going to do a lot of Yiddish.
Here in the town of Anatevia, we have many traditions.
Can you mash them up? Do a Fiddler on the Mockingbird.
She kissed the Negro.
You just sound like Count Chocula then. So, blah blah.
Tom Robinson.
Which I guess is a double entendre in itself.
by God.
Wow.
You let him go free. Tradition. This is the Editing Bay on the Next Wave Radio Network. My name is Joe.
I'm Joel.
And this is where we come to talk about movies. Oftentimes, they're bad movies, usually much worse than To Kill a Mockingbird.
Or Fiddler on the Roof.
Or Fiddler on the Roof. But yeah, no, sometimes they are underappreciated films. No matter what the case, we will watch them and then come back here to this forum and talk about it with each other and with you, our lovely listener. And this week...
Listener, singular.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure after this, everybody else has signed off.
Oh, we got some Twitter followers.
We're doing good. We've got some more followers.
I think we doubled our followers in the last couple of weeks.
Because we kind of suck on social media.
We're getting there.
So, but it was nice. We had ourselves a little surge this week.
Mm-hmm. Surge?
Where are we going with it?
Remember those...
The drink?
It was like, what was it, like a shampoo commercial?
No. Where are we going? I was on a roll, Joel, and you just completely derailed it.
This entire podcast is like derailed.
You Burnsoned it.
We've had like five different topics in the last 90 seconds.
Did you hear when I guested on 8-Bit Gladiators last week?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
And I totally derailed the conversation. And I think there were two references of like, you've been spending too much time around Joel.
This is what we do. Short attention span theater.
That's right. Don't sue us, please, Comedy Central.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, it was. Oh. Short Attention Span Theater was an actual show.
I had such a short attention span.
What was the Comedy Channel when it first started?
Oh, old school.
Yeah, totally old school.
Cable back then.
So this week, because Jeff and I went and saw Fast and the Furious, and you had brought up, you're like, well, you want to talk about the older Fast and Furious movies? I was like, no, you know what? I think I got all the Fast and Furious I could handle.
Yes.
But you came up with another film that I hadn't seen yet that ironically was produced by Neil H. Moritz, who did all the Fast and Furious movies.
I noticed that.
I guess he was trying to capitalize on the whole racing scene and what he did already with Fast and the Furious. And he produced this movie called Torque.
He did.
And not based on the bass player for the Monkees. It's T-O-R-Q-U-E.
Torque.
Which is the, what is torque? Like the measurement of friction or resistance?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is?
I looked it up as well.
I didn't look it up. I just kind of was like, well, what is this?
But
it's about motorcycles instead of cars.
Sickles. That's right. Although I take umbrage with you saying that this is my pick.
Was on your list.
Technically, it's on my list, but this is a listener pick.
Uh-huh.
And so I would claim it as my own. But,
that's right. This was a listener pick. This one belonged to Ryan Jenkins.
Sorry, Ryan. Every time.
So, Torque.
Yes. He wanted to hear what we had to say about it.
Okay.
So I won't say that this is my pick, but I did want to. I felt like I was being left out of the whole Fast and Furious thing
because
everybody was talking about it. Everybody saw it. Thankfully, you showed me that YouTube, that 10-minute compilation.
That was Jeff.
Which was fucking brilliant. Thank you, Jeff, by the way. Yeah, I watched that and like laughed my ass. And now you're right. I never have to see those movies. I
feel another like race scene.
I was waiting for them to do Tokyo Drift because like they totally skipped over it. Because I know it's like the bastard child of the
Fast. But then they come back to it.
They came back to it.
In the continuity. They did it in order of continuity.
Exactly, exactly. And I had no idea that like that was such a spinoff. Like didn't have any of the main characters. Like didn't have Paul Walker or anything in it.
No. Vin Diesel showed up at the very end.
That's right. Just to promote part 3, I guess. Yes. Or 4 or whatever number they were on at that point.
Yeah.
But now having seen Torque... I feel like I've got my speed racer fix.
Yeah,
you kind of get
your fill.
Oh,
with Torque.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good for a good decade.
This movie tries so hard.
Does it
to like stand up to like the Fast and Furious? Like it tries so hard to differentiate itself and be its own entity. I think
right off the
while
bat,
while still kind of lampooning it. But it does these, and we talked about this when we talked about Swordfish. When you take pot shots at another movie,
yeah,
you better make sure you're better than it.
I know.
And it takes a few swipes at the Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Like at the very beginning when he's on the motorcycle and he's racing the cars and he goes so fast by that road sign.
Right.
It spins around and it says cars suck.
I picked up on that, yeah.
Yeah. Also, like when the cars are at the racing line, you see a turtle walking by to kind of like, you know, illustrate
cars
that
are
cars, yeah, you might think cars are fast, but yeah. Motorcycles are where it's at. And then at one point in the movie, our main character, Ford, says the line,
mm-hmm.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
And
then
heroine.
His girlfriend character says, that's so, what
she's
did she
like,
say?
That's the dumbest
thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
not
lady, while that's probably the dumbest thing you've ever heard, that line is part of what the movie is now still the highest grossing movie.
Oh, yeah.
Two weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. Fast and Furious 7, the highest grossing of the series. Which people could probably make the argument because it's Paul Walker's last.
Of course, of course.
But it is the highest grossing film of the series. Meanwhile, I haven't seen Torque 2.
Where's Torque 2 through 7 through 8? Yeah, exactly.
So you got to be careful. If you're thinking about making a movie, you better think twice about taking pot shots at pre-existing material. Yeah. You better make sure you are better than that.
They bit the hand that fed them. And weird, too, that one of the producers...
The main producer.
I know.
Like, this guy's behind all of Vin Diesel's movies.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to do a motorcycle movie. I guess they thought this was going to be a franchise as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, weird to pit them against each other.
It even featured one of the characters from the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah?
The guy who played Henry plays a character named Vince in two of the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, does he really?
Yes.
Okay. So Henry's one of the bad guys, right?
Joel, there are so many bad guys in this movie. Like, within the first 5 minutes of this movie, it's like... Fuck story. It's just this white guy on a motorcycle seems to just piss off everybody he looks at.
The entire city.
Yeah.
That he's rolling through.
So to say that there is one bad guy in this film, I don't think that's a fair assessment.
And even our good guys are kind of bad guys, too. Because there's not a lot of redeeming qualities, and they're breaking some laws.
No, because our protagonist, Ford, who's played by Michael Saint Nobody,
yes,
that you'll never see.
Charisma-free. This guy is.
Character and charisma-free.
Yes.
You never have to worry about getting invested in what's going to happen to this guy because you get a feeling that he doesn't really exist. He's just a blank slate on camera.
This would have been a great cartoon, I think. This should have been an animated movie.
But you're not wrong about the characters, the protagonists, not being sympathetic. I mean, you've got these guys, he races on the street, and then you've got these cartoony character dudes that get out of their car, and immediately they want to fight him.
They want to fight
this guy because he beat them on the road. And he's like, that little stunt almost ruined our car. I'm like, well, then you should have let him pass.
Right, yeah.
First of all, you needed to do.
They were drag racing on an open road, inches away from each other. Before the motorcycle even showed up, they were hitting each other, and anybody could have died at any moment.
That's right.
So, yeah.
And so
unchecked aggression.
So then you've got another, and I can't tell if this was a Fast and Furious shot or not, but the guy said, he's like, what is it about all you guys that drive cars that make you assholes?
Yep, absolutely.
What? Why are you making such a broad generalization?
And also alienating your entire... I drove my car to the theater to see this movie here, and now you're fucking calling me an asshole because I'm going to get right back in my car afterwards and go home. I'm pretty sure
this movie didn't show exclusively at Sturgis. And even if it did, that's not exactly a biker rally for rice burners.
True.
That's hard. Like, it was so weird for us to see the culture that they tried to illustrate with this.
Yeah, I have some biker friends, and they're the nicest people, generally, for the most part. It's the posers who, want to, ride the crazy handlebars, and...
Well, I don't know if you've been to many biker rallies, Joel.
I've been to exactly zero.
Okay, so have I.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some folks that have been.
The perfect people to digest this.
But all the people I know that have gone to biker rallies, they don't look like the people that have gone to this weird rally that's in this movie.
Right.
They go, and it's one of the scenes from Fast and Furious where they go to one of the underground racing moments, and, there's chicks with, their ass hanging out of their panties or whatever, and they're just dancing and stuff. Every hot person in California was at this rally.
There's, simultaneously a wet t-shirt contest going on. And there's, some gambling and some dancing. Looks like a hell of a party, really.
Yeah. And then, you've got Ford's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend at the time, Shane,
who has
some makeshift shop set up.
She got a neon sign out front. That's all I know.
What is happening? And Jesse James comes in and he's like, hey, how much are these things? We're closed. Sign says sign's wrong. Wow, there's your star power.
The most
recognizable person, at least at the time, is a guy that you put in the movie for 2 seconds.
Actually, my favorite character, just to jump around a little bit, is...
get out your seat.
Recognize. Jump around.
I know who you're going to say.
Well, then am I even going to say it? Guess.
Adam Scott.
No.
Really?
Jamie Presley, dude.
Jamie Presley's
even
China.
In the goth, she's wearing she's got black hair in this. Usually she's a bubblegum blonde.
Uh-huh.
What would you know him from? Can't Hardly Wait.
And another movie we talked about, DOA.
Thank
Dead
you.
Or Alive.
I was trying to think of the name of it. Yeah, DOA. She's the country chick, but she's super. My name is Earl.
Yeah, DOA came way after this movie, right?
Yeah, I think that was 2007 or 8 or
something. All right, so it was a few years after.
It was 2004 for Torque.
She had her boobs done for DOA. Do we think that? She seemed much more top-heavy in DOA than she was in this movie.
She's always been pretty busty for me.
She didn't seem like it in this.
Well, you know what? But she was wearing next to nothing, actually. Like,
but then shouldn't she seem a little bit more busty? Like a little, like we get more of an idea? Because she was wearing next to nothing in DOA.
Yeah, but you've got those halter tops that lift and separate,
oh, that
Joe.
Lift and separate.
This was like leaving... there was no support in what she was wearing.
Gotcha.
It was like, you know, your tennis shoelaces...
I don't know how it works.
...and a piece of leather just wrapped around her upper torso.
I don't know how this works.
Well, go with me. Riff with me.
I wish they did that for
dudes. I'm having a little moment here. For who?
For dudes. I wish they did that for dudes. Like the understuff, like to make it look like...
like Frankenfurter?
Give it some lift.
Oh, what do you need to lift and separate?
Lift and separate. My balls.
I want the opposite. I want to squeeze and drop.
The new t-shirt from the editing bay.
Not edit bay.
All right. So, no. Yeah, she was a good character. However... like, some of the stuff they did in this movie, especially with her, was so ridiculous. Like, okay, so in the course of the movie, we meet up with Ice Cube.
Yes.
And he runs a biker gang called the Reapers, mm-hmm. and he's got his little brother.
Ever sneering, too.
Oh, yeah.
Always, like, he's smelling onions.
So I'm smelling onions, dog. Oh, my God. We've just been like, these guys are racist. They do horrible impressions of
whatever.
Ice Cube.
This is going to be a non-offensive episode.
Sure.
One. I'm inspired.
Inspired by what?
By the one Twitter follower who like called us out.
It's Jessica. That was Jessica, my friend Jessica. She recommended that we see It Follows. She's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised she wasn't offended last week. Because every time we referenced
I was offended
Maria,
listening back to
Maria
Chiquita Consuelo Rodriguez.
Conchita, and you kept calling her Chiquita.
That's a... oh, really?
Yes.
No, well, but there was a Maria Chiquita Consuelo Rodriguez who was like a character
back
in the day.
But that's not her.
It's a stereotype. I know, yes, but I couldn't remember her actual
name.
It's
a stereotype.
Everything we
and
do
I'm
is...
so surprised my friend Jessica, who is Hispanic, was not offended by this.
There's nothing offensive about it. I can't remember anybody's names.
That would be like if we had a black guy in a TV show and we couldn't remember his name and you just called him Tyrone
called
the
him
whole
Roots
time.
Roots or something? Oh, okay, yeah.
Roots. That's even worse.
I know it is. I was going for offensive
God
that time.
Damn.
Sorry, Jessica.
All right. So, no, she plays a very interesting character because in the course of the movie, the Henry character's trying to set up Ford. Okay, there's such a weird, like, convoluted backstory involved in this.
Yes.
That Ford was dating Shane and... he picked up some bikes from Henry. They didn't have gas in them. They had crystal meth in the gas tanks.
Right.
So he hid the bikes. And right after he hid the bikes and skipped town to Thailand. Thank you. It's like Disney World or Disneyland.
oh, my gosh, yeah.
So he skips town to Thailandia. And and the feds come and raid her place, mm-hmm. and they can't find anything. So he's like gone for 6 months, gone. Ends up coming back.
Right.
And so now he wants to make things right. And so we find out, like, you know, Henry hasn't forgotten. He wants his drugs and his bikes back.
Everybody finds out this guy's back in town. It's a wonder that the cops aren't privy
not
to
until,
it.
Not until halfway, maybe halfway through the movie.
And yet everybody else, all these tertiary characters, know that he's back.
Yeah.
Like, man, word travels fast.
Welcome back, dog.
You'd think one of the cops would have. Somebody would have spilled the beans and got these guys on the case.
Well, eventually they do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this whole thing going on where they're trying, now Henry's trying to frame Ford for a murder. He murders Ice Cube's little brother and tries to frame Ford for it. And the police are on the scene. It's all this crime scene activity. Police on the scene. You know what I mean? So the cops are like, well, we've got an eyewitness and she's willing to make a statement. And Jamie Presley's like just lounging on the front of a cruiser.
On the hood of a car. Like not handcuffed or anything. Just chilling. Chillaxing.
And at one point, a cop comes over and she takes his hat off and puts it on her head.
Like, you can't do that shit.
I kind of feel like the credibility of your witness goes out the window at
and
this
point. And the
entire point.
Case is hinging on her... this one person's testimony who looks like she has maybe a little bit of disrespect for the law.
For authority
certainly
in general.
For her clothing.
Yeah.
The way it's all disheveled,
maybe are you saying that maybe she has a little bit of disrespect for herself?
I think she's externalizing a lot of her teenage angst.
And daddy
these
issues.
There's definitely some daddy issues going on there. You don't,
fuck with the Jesus.
I love the, every shot of Jamie Presley, because she's got like heavy eyeliner on. Isn't like her lip pierced or something, or nose pierced?
Yeah.
She's a hardcore
like
chick.
Yeah.
And if her exterior wasn't enough to tell you she was hardcore, every shot of her, she's like licking her lips. She always has to run the tongue across.
Oh, yeah.
And even later on when she's like in the middle of a high-speed fight slash chase, she still has time to stick her tongue out and give a little...
Oh, yeah. She does. She sticks a tongue out when they're in the middle of doing like bike foo.
Bike foo? Oh, my God. That's exactly what I wrote down, too. Seriously, guys.
We had gun foo, and now we've got bike foo.
Exactly.
Yeah, from Equilibrium.
Curving the bullets.
Okay, so... Did you notice this at the very beginning when Ford gets in the fight with those two guys in the cars?
Hmm.
That there's a red car and a yellow car, and like he fights with them, and they take off. And as they take off, two other bikes show up, and it's a red bike and a yellow bike.
Oh, no.
Somebody was married to the fucking color composition in this movie.
There's, and then he's wearing orange.
He's wearing his orange and
everybody's
black.
Everybody's color-coded.
He looks like he's wearing some bastardized costume based on Mickey Rourke from Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Oh my gosh, a little bit. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
like the all leathers.
Reese's Pieces is sponsoring him.
Man, we were going to get into the sponsors in this movie in just a second.
Okay, good.
But no, when these two guys show up and the whole like let's fight fake out.
so much machismo.
There's tension between people, and then they just like laugh it off. It doesn't work in anything.
Yeah.
Like unless it's Empire Strikes Back. With the scene with Lando, where he's like, "You motherfucker, you shush!"
Wow, is that the special edition?
I don't remember.
Lando dropping the F-bomb.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face around
showing
here
your ass
after
around
what
here.
You pulled, motherfucker.
Wow, that's a great skit.
But it works in Empire Strikes Back. It totally doesn't work in any other movie that I watch where I'm like, okay, you were just in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
No filmmaker, no matter how bad they are not going to follow up a fight with another fight with just two random people. So they do the whole like, let's fight fake out. And then it's like, you son of a bitch. and we find out that they're buddies. And immediately they're racing down the road to the credit sequence. And that's when they run into Ice Cube and his gang of Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
Still no real like, story or character development other than the fact that this guy drove across California to go to a diner to find a Polaroid picture that he could have just had on him instead of him having to go to a diner.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
He could have just had it. Instead, we waste this time and set up a fight because fuck cars.
Right.
And so we get more conflict where they run into the black biker gang,
mm-hmm.
and then they're about to fight, but then the cops show up, so they don't fight, but you owe my brother a bike, and then they just take off and go back. They go to the rally. There's so much conflict, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much conflict and so many people working at odds against each other that it immediately became uninteresting to me.
No, I agree. I was more interested in everybody's seeming hatred for beer bottles in this movie. Did you notice that?
They break bottles so much.
Everybody takes like one sip and then toss and crash off in the corner. And I was like, this is a great drinking game, ironically. Every time a beer bottle gets smashed,
yeah,
take a shot,
yeah.
But it was too much. I'm like, man, these guys hate beer or bottles,
especially this early in the movie.
Yeah,
when you still don't know shit about anybody in this film, you know it's too much. It's way too much conflict. And then you finally get to the rally where Ford catches back up with Shane,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly Shane is like vomiting exposition. Well, you were my boyfriend who ran off 6 months ago.
Yeah, I love that.
Because, she just starts rattling shit off.
Mm-hmm.
And
everybody does it.
Well, everybody,
I heard you were back in town from Thailand.
Not everybody.
You haven't been
does
here
it.
For 6 months. Ever since those bikes that you stole went missing.
You had, you know what was in those bikes. No, it wasn't until this point, though, that, people start kind of rattling off the exposition. But it wasn't everybody, but she definitely had like that moment where he first meets up with her, and then there's expository puke, and then when he finally gets her alone and they have their discussion, mm-hmm. and he explains everything, at that point I feel like we've gone through this now two or three times.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the plot they have to work with, though, because then it's just like racing and chase scenes
and
afterwards.
But the thing is, If that's what your movie's going to be,
mm-hmm.
then your chase scenes and race scenes better be captivating, and they're not.
Yeah, a little disinterested.
Uh-huh.
And I'm torn because I don't know which direction to go. Do you go super over the top crazy? Because they tried that with the scene with like the motorcycles on top of a train.
On a train.
There's a chase scene where there's a train that they're driving next to, and there happens to be a convenient ramp.
Because why not?
Yeah, of course.
Because why not? Because
sitting there.
I don't know how gravity works But I'm pretty sure you can't just like ride a motorcycle off a ledge and it just automatically bounces
nope.
to the next train car.
You can't do that. You can't do 180s like in a single spot and just kind of turn your bike around like that. Maybe you uh-huh. can, but I'm sure the jiggle and jangle of the train beneath you would be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Also, another thing you can't do on a train, ride your motorcycle through the fucking cars while there are people sitting there. Like, people should have been there. There should have been so many people killed.
There should have been a lot of people dead. There should have been, and most of them on these motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, these rice burner motorcycles are not, they're not supercross motorcycles.
No.
But they are ever driving on fucking sand dunes and dirt and like through forests and stuff. Like, there's that one moment in the forest where there's the guys are chasing him. I can't follow anything that's going on. I can't follow a fucking thing. I don't know who's who. I don't know where they're going.
Yep.
I have no idea. And these guys all have guns, and they're all the worst shots. Like, they are all stormtroopers.
Dude, one guy's like point blank, like yeah. riding a motorcycle next to him and, uh-huh. and somehow misses or can't get the shot off.
I think that was at the very end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
Henry is fighting Ford,
mm-hmm.
and Ford's on his airplane motorcycle.
Henry Ford.
You're just now putting that together?
No. Yeah. It's clearly obvious.
Like there really was no creativity that went into this fucking movie.
I know.
Okay,
they should have been listening to Motorhead. That should have been the soundtrack.
If there was anything that they could have been listening to, it had to have been better than like Nickelback that closes the movie out.
And that's when, so I'm sitting here watching it, and I was like, man, how are you going to sum up this movie? You know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say on
Nickelback
the podcast.
Someday.
And then Nickelback comes up during the credits. I'm like, well, that's how. That's all you need to know about this movie is that, you know, right after the climax.
Gonna make it all right, but not right now.
only one. Although, I mean, surely you've seen on YouTube there have been so many mashups. Well, they'll take two Nickelback songs and play them simultaneously.
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
They're identical.
They're identical.
So it's like, yeah, that's what this movie is.
It is.
I love Nickelback.
I guess Nickelback does encapsulate the creativity involved in putting together a movie like Torque.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so. Do you remember this? Where where Ice Cube is meeting with Henry? They're having that like potential deal.
Oh yeah,
and Ice Cube's like, "Nah, man, we ain't gonna do that."
Snarl.
Do you remember where they're meeting?
No,
they're in the parking lot of a 99-cent only.
Oh yes, yeah, so that's right.
We're only the most reputable gangsters hang out.
That's true.
99 cents only.
I forgot about that.
What the fuck, man? That was, it's such blatant, like, such blatant sponsorship, trying to plug a sponsor in there.
Yeah, and that to me feels like the producer, like, you know that they didn't start off with a 99-cent store. They started off with, like, Target. Target wouldn't answer their calls. Work our way down to even Walmart. Walmart's too good for a movie like this.
Aldi. Aldi's like, you got to bring your own bags.
It's like, what about Five Below? Nope, $5. Too rich. Too rich for this audience. It's got to be under a bill.
Man, don't go hang out at the 99-cent only store. That's where the Reapers
hang out.
You
know what happens after midnight. Hide your daughters.
Oh my God.
At the 99-cent store.
It was just so moronic. Like a lot of this stuff was moronic. But getting to the sponsorship thing now, mm-hmm. you know, like last week I talked about how what the Running Man really needed was some like more sponsorships to kind of play off the sponsorship thing. This movie went the entire other direction.
We're not going
to
sell any sponsorship.
they had... Everything was sponsored in this movie. Mm-hmm. Everything. There's that chase you were talking about earlier between China and Shane.
Yes.
One is on one end of a with a like a Mountain Dew logo.
I was
logo,
just going to say, in case you
Pepsi
missed it,
logo.
Brought to you by Mountain Dew and the PepsiCo.
and like even while they're doing that, there's like a Taco Bell in the background, a KFC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think at one point they even drive through like a KFC and grab like a drumstick and they're just eating away
now
while they're fighting each other.
Shit
I'm
up.
Making it
you're
up. But you wouldn't be surprised
mm-hmm.
if something like this happened in this movie. You wouldn't be surprised Joel, this movie is shit.
When they start framing the image, you know, where it's like the motorcycle and the character are actually smaller than the billboard in the background.
Yeah.
There's some payola going on. Also, one of the things that's, and this is one of these themes that always occurs, and usually it's relegated to older movies, so it's refreshing to see it in a 2004 movie. But in this world, that I don't know where it exists, by the way. Yeah. In this world, apparently, the biggest sin you can commit is to do drugs. And it's like, you know, oh my God, crystal meth. These are the bad guys who are doing crystal meth. Meanwhile, our protagonists are, you know, thieves.
I love it.
Breaking every law, attempted murder.
I made this note at the very end of the movie when they finally like they bring the fucking, this whole thing hinges on this horrible fucking this horrible MacGuffin of, we've got to prove that the bike chain actually, because a bike chain is like a fingerprint for a motorcycle. Uh-huh. Everyone's got a different rotor, and it rides on the rotor a different way.
Just
gotta
find
the match. And I fucking forgot about that until the very end when he kills Henry and fucking has the rotor, and he brings it to the cop, the good cop.
This is all you need.
And he's like, this is all. She's like, no, it's all good. You guys are good. And I'm like, no, actually,
I'm pretty sure.
My note, right? Actually, no. You're all arrested. You are all under arrest.
Yes. We're going to get to the bottom of this. You're going to be in the pen overnight until we can suss it out.
Overnight? Like months of investigation.
I am being generous.
While they're being charged with this crime. Because no matter what, there are people, like you said, there is a body count in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they held weapons to innocent people.
Oh, well, dude, the whole last, like the climax, the chase scene where Ford is chasing Henry through. And
you mean Ghost Rider? when Ghost Rider's riding through the city.
They're going so fast. And this is all computer generated at this point. We're not even trying to pretend that we actually filmed motorcycles. It's all whizzing by.
It's the end of Speed Racer.
It is. It's so cartoony, and they're doing these superhero-like moves. Cars are crashing around them, and we're not going to focus on that because it's all these two motorcycles.
Yeah.
And then, and it ends in a huge explosion. And this isn't like on some deserted road. This is the middle of a metropolitan city with buildings around.
The middle of the city.
And my note after that was like, so people died today,
people
right?
Died.
A lot of people died.
Uh-huh.
And we're just going to gloss over that.
Oh, yeah. And also,
the carnage that was left.
On a whole other level, like a very, probably a minor gripe in comparison, the fucking fire following his bike.
I like
as
that.
He's driving, you like that?
Well, I mean, like
that the fire changed speed to fit his, like, however fast he was going.
When he slows down.
The fire was just this far away, it kept a consistent speed.
Just a little less believable than in Weird Science, where they're racing electricity on the telephone poles. Remember that?
I'm going to give Weird Science a pass.
because it's a fucking comedy? Yes, thank you.
This movie was
a comedy in a way. Comedy of errors.
It is a comedy of errors. This is a comedy of errors. This is definitely what you get, and I think we've talked about this before with the Fast and Furious movies and stuff, or we talked about it with Speed Racer.
Yeah.
And it's weird that I'll give Speed Racer a pass on this, mm-hmm. and I'll explain why. But you had said it's like a kid playing with his Matchbox cars, and like they just kind of made it into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this was like, but I'll give Speed Racer a pass because it is based in fantasy.
Yeah.
It's based in sci-fi. It's based on a cartoon.
I was going to say, thank you. Yeah, it was originated with a cartoon.
They're trying so hard to make it hyper-realistic, but then when it suits their purposes, they're like, you just got to suspend disbelief. No, you've got to keep a consistent tone to your movie. I didn't like anything about this movie. I'm pretty sure I didn't like anything about this movie.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm trying to figure out what the director had in mind. So this director, surprise, surprise, by the way, music video director. Like, this was his feature film directorial debut.
He's only directed like three movies, I think.
He did this. He did one from 2011 called Detention. And then he did a Britney Spears music video compilation, which I guess sold tons. So good for him.
Well, there's that.
I read a quote from him, and he was blaming it on the studio. He was like, the studio didn't let me, got involved, wouldn't let me make the movie I wanted to do.
He didn't get to make the torque he wanted.
His quote was, he wanted to make a dumb movie for smart people, which I find commendable.
Uh-huh.
I can get behind that, and I would have liked to have seen a movie like that.
Right.
But I don't know how were his hands tied by the studio. What would he have done with this script and these characters? That it was the execution that he wasn't allowed to make the movie he wanted to make.
I don't know. Because there are things in this movie that, you know, I don't think the studio got involved in. I think they're just horrible decisions.
I think it's a scapegoat. I think this is him saying, like, this is the movie I made, like, and it was the studios who wouldn't let me do it.
Do you remember the part where Ice Cube gets a phone call while he's driving his motorcycle, and he just puts his phone up to his head?
Yeah. You can't fucking hear that. Oh,
no.
My God.
No.
They're like
he's wearing a helmet.
They're all wearing helmets. They're yelling at each other. They're having conversations. And poor Jenna, poor girlfriend.
Did she watch this?
I'm making
with you?
Her watch all these. Like, she's watched the last three or four crappy movies. I know Jeff is shaking his head as well. And she was like, you can't hear when you're on a motorcycle.
No.
Like, no. All you're hearing is engine and road at this point.
They're talking to each other. She's like, they're still following us. He has a gun. Will you go right? I'll split. I'm like, no.
Maybe set up that.
You can't hear.
They've got speakers.
If you set that up, that's fine. But that was never done.
That's all I need. So I'm not sure what kind of a smart movie he was trying to. I would have liked to have seen that movie, but this just felt like a dumb movie.
It was a dumb movie. Here's another example for you. You find out that Henry that Joe, what was his name, Jojo, or it was Ice Cube's little brother.
Oh, yeah.
Ends up getting killed. Mm-hmm. And what happens is he's strangled to death by a bike chain that the character Dalton cuts off of Henry's bike.
Right.
For no reason in particular, because you don't really get a sense that this Dalton guy's got a beef with Henry. But
I don't understand why they killed the guy.
He cuts Henry's chain, and then they kill him to pin it on Ford.
I know, but like...
No, I'm not saying it made sense. I'm just telling you what the motivation was for the character.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
in this movie makes fucking sense, Joel.
Agreed.
Especially what I'm about to tell you. So you find out that he was killed by a bike chain, that Henry strangled him with a bike chain. You watch that happen in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. So while the good guys are hiding out in a fucking mine... Apparently, they just knew where, like, there was an abandoned mine or something.
A mine.
Where there was still... And they call it a mine. speak, friend, and enter. So they're in this mine, and there's, like, electricity, because why not?
Sure.
And the guy Dalton explains, he's like, oh, man, I think that's Henry's chain. And they're like, how do you know that? And he goes,
oh, yeah.
It's complicated. And then they cut. And I'm like, no. It's actually not complicated at all. I cut the chain off his bike because I was being a dick, and he must have used that as the murder weapon.
Yeah. I just
explained it in 3 seconds.
Why do you need to keep this information from your friend? What if something happens to you? Then who's going to exonerate you?
Right. It's lines like that where someone's just like, because the writer didn't know. The writers didn't know how they wanted to end the scene, or the director didn't know how he wanted to punctuate the scene. So instead we got it's complicated.
Yep.
If this is complicated for your characters, then they should not be on this fucking Sherlock Holmes quest to find the fucking rotor of the bike to prove that the chain is a... This whole thing about the chain being a fingerprint, too, just like...
I'm not sure that that's...
I think I screamed...
Science holds that
I
up.
Screamed at the screen, this is dumb as fuck. it wasn't impressive to me.
That part didn't bother me so much. What bothered me... Okay, so he has his two buddies, Dalton and Val. Remember those two guys?
Yeah. I was just talking about
Stereotype du jour. Why are they so loyal to this guy? Why are they so? Because at a certain point, when this murder's happened and he's being framed and he's got to clear his name, that's the part. And maybe I'm a bad friend. Maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I'm a selfish narcissist.
Uh-huh.
But that's the part where I'm like,
I agree with all those.
Hey man, good good luck to you. I hope it all works out. I'm gonna go bang this groupie.
Christina Milian.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, good looking out. Hope things turn out okay.
Deuces.
This does not involve me. Nobody is. I have no beef with Ice Cube or any of these guys who are trying to kill you.
Well, Joel, that's because friends are loyal to each other.
I know.
You need to be loyal to your friends.
But I wanted to see like why, like even one of these little expository conversations, like remember back those years ago before you went to Thailand?
Uh-huh.
When you saved my ass, I'm gonna get you back this
right.
time.
Right. And the thing is, because they illustrated such loyalty, mm-hmm. it made you want to see that. Jeff and I had a similar discussion that you're gonna hear on next week's Afternoon Delight.
I'm not gonna listen.
Where we talked about you should probably listen. Where we talk about the movie It Follows.
Giving up for Lent.
And there's this creature that kills people in the movie, and this one character knows all this information about this creature,
mm-hmm.
but they never explain how he knows, and it made me want to know, well, where did this come from? Where did all this information come from?
Maybe they'll explain it later.
I would like for them to explain it later then, since they've introduced this character who's mm-hmm. explained this much, and they never do.
Mm.
And, you know, Jeff was saying, I don't mind that. I think it would have been too much for them to bring in all the science, and I don't disagree with him. But what my point is, if you're going to introduce it with that character,
yeah.
then I want to know. But if you just don't worry about it, if you don't have this character give all this useless exposition, then I'm not going to worry about it. And that's kind of how I feel about this movie. That, like, if you're going to show them be so loyal that they're with them to the bitter end, then you need to explain why.
I just need one throwaway line.
Right?
That's all you got.
Or if you don't want to do that, then maybe have them just kind of accidentally keep running into them, and it becomes necessity that they need to rely on each other to survive. And that's why they're running together.
I want to know why this guy went to Thailand. Like, that's the top of his list of places to hide out.
He explained why. It was the only place that didn't make me think of you.
Really?
That was the line. Yeah,
about,
he said that.
Cambodia? How about Mexico City? How about a country ISIS. That we border? True.
ISIS.
Good point.
No, so, but Canada. He does. Canada would be perfect.
Yes, they speak English
there. He could drive there.
You were going to blend in. In Canada.
Well, maybe if you'd stay out of Toronto.
Oh, right.
There's a Toronto and like Niagara, the Niagara area. There's a lot of Asians.
That is true.
So he would stick out like a sore thumb.
That is true.
But other than that, he would be okay. No, I agree with you there. I think that there are plenty of other places that he could go to hide out. In fact, some places just within the states.
Yeah.
He could have just hid out somewhere
Wyoming.
In the states.
Yeah. Open land. You have a motorcycle.
He
you can get to places cars
can't. He seemed to do pretty well in California.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason the cops got after him was because he made his presence known.
Mm-hmm.
I got the feeling that nobody was really looking for him.
And apparently they can find him if they want to.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows when he's back in town.
Well, because again. Super Cop Adam Scott shows up.
Okay, I was going to say, we got to get to this because there's a whole little C story. Although I guess it's, I don't know. I would have been fine if they would have left this out.
It was
overcomplicating the plot.
It was. It was.
We don't need another antagonist. We got the biker gang. We got Ice Cube.
Yeah.
There's two antagonists right now. I don't know who the bad guy is. And then they throw these two FBI agents, one played by Adam Scott, the most unbelievable FBI. Is FBI, right? Or CIA? FBI.
It played to me a lot like John Cusack in Con Air.
Yes.
Where I just didn't buy it the entire time. I could not buy it.
He's wearing like Converse and like a t-shirt underneath his pinstripe.
And like hammer pants.
Suit.
Isn't he wearing like hammer pants?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like 20. He looks like he's 18 in this movie. I don't buy him at all as an FBI agent.
No.
I buy Keanu Reeves as an FBI agent more than I buy Adam Scott.
And Paul Walker.
And Paul Walker, there you go. I had no idea he was an FBI agent in that first movie.
I can't remember what he was. Was he an FBI agent?
Yeah, according to that 10-minute YouTube clip that you sent. Yeah. Check that out, by the way. That's on our Facebook page from last week. Thanks, listeners.
Yeah, no, Adam Scott, while I didn't buy him as an FBI agent, he at least brought his Adam Scott charm.
Yeah, he's funny.
So there were definitely some parts that I felt like, oh, yeah, that's Adam Scott.
But,
like when he gets all like pumped up and he's like, all right, let's go. And his partner's like, you got to pay for the gas. And he's like, oh, right. And he gets out of the car.
Yeah.
And I sat there going, there's no way the director told him to do that.
No.
That had to have been just Adam Scott.
That's take three when he's like, hey, let me try something this time.
Yeah.
And then the editor decided to use that take. That was not the
The director's like, no, you're not funny. We brought in Dane Cook to be funny.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I was going to say, why do you need Adam Scott when you have
the brilliant musings of Dane Cook?
That's right. He sells out auditoriums, stadiums, with his musings.
Oh God! And he was so bad. Like,
he was so bad. He was.
You could have cast anybody in the role that he was in, and I kind of feel like was Dane Cook so big at that point that was a casting stunt that got people in to see this movie.
It did seem weird. Were they using him in the advertising?
I just remember when he was in the movie, like everybody's like, "Dude, you know Dane Cook's in that."
Yeah.
And so I'm imagining he's going to be like one of the bikers or something.
I know.
Not like, you know, one of the old people from fucking Con Air that's like the body lands on.
He's like sixth billed on IMDb.
Yeah.
I have a feeling when they show this movie on cable, if that ever
one
happens,
line.
It'll be like, we now return to Torque starring Dane Cook. Like,
and,
that's what
and
they're going to do.
Cube.
And Ice Cube, yeah. Or Adam Scott, probably.
Yeah,
more
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. And he was a character we didn't need.
No.
It was bad comic relief. It didn't add anything to the story or the plot. You could have cut that out completely.
They were taking another poke at, in the same way that they were poking at people who were into cars at the beginning with all the Fast and Furious knocks.
The poser bikers,
exactly.
The weekend warriors.
He shows up, but he's got his girl on the back, and they're like, where did they just come from?
I can't remember.
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
He's like the nerdiest biker.
Oh, yeah. He's like, can we take pictures with you guys?
That's what it was again, yeah. And then he gets his feelings hurt, gets his pride hurt, shows up again later, and he's on the phone trying to sell his bike.
Yeah.
And driving a car.
Trying a sports car. He's got a sports car. He's driving around.
Needless. Why are we bringing this character back? He wasn't funny the first time.
No, he wasn't. A lot of the comic relief in this movie was accidental.
Yeah, like what?
Well, when Ice Cube's motorcycle goes down on the train tracks,
oh.
And the train fucking runs it over, and it's like a Death Star-sized explosion.
Yes, that blows everybody, propels them.
It's such a huge explosion, Joel.
Yeah.
A motorcycle's not going to blow up like that.
No.
I've seen cars get hit by trains. They don't blow up. Why is this little rice burner fucking motorcycle going up? I mean, seriously, it was like the kind of explosion you use to demo a fucking building.
Yeah.
And it threw them. No, the shockwave threw them.
And we see, right before that shot, we see the conductor on the train, and he sees what's happening, and he pulls that e-brake, right? But then we never go back to him because he's presumably dead from the explosion.
Well, okay, we don't go that. And also, do you think maybe that guy waited a little too long to hit the e-brake?
That's what I said too.
It's kind of a straight shot.
I'm like, dude, by that point, if you haven't seen them by now, that's when you speed up. That's when you just try to obliterate and remove all evidence that there was ever anything there.
Because if torque teaches you anything, it's that if you go fast enough through something, you're going to be okay.
I love. They're forever. Okay, so we're getting the climax, you know, near the end, the big chase. And he gets on that super, what do they call it? Is this like this silver spaceship looking?
I have no idea.
It can't exist in reality the way he's driving it. And there's a perfectly good door that he could exit the building from. But right next to it is a huge glass window that he just busts through like the fucking Kool-Aid man. And like, there's no reason to do that. And they even do the close-up of like the shards of glass bouncing off his face. And I'm like, you're
sunglasses.
Dead. You have lacerations all over your body right now in reality. Like this doesn't... Why? What are we teaching our children?
I was thinking the same thing when Jeff and I were watching Fast and Furious or Furious 7.
Yeah.
There's a scene at the near the very beginning where
you mean
Rock,
the Avengers 3?
Expendables 4.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
There's a scene at the beginning where The Rock is fighting Jason Statham.
Mm-hmm.
And like he sends Jason Statham like backwards through a sheet of glass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, at that point, Jason Statham's head is chopped.
Yep.
Like, you have cut the back of his neck wide open.
Or jugular has been punctured.
Exactly. There's no way he just goes backwards through the glass and he's okay because it just shattered. No. Because that's a heavy pane of fucking glass in a CIA headquarters?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's some bulletproofing going on.
Yeah, nobody's busting through that.
Yeah, and he busts him through it. I'm like, dude, why? You're dead now. And that's what this movie ignored as well. This movie ignored, like, glass is going to injure you. You're going to be cut. You're going to be destroyed. And if the glass doesn't do it, the fucking street barricade that you drive through and hit with your fucking head.
Yeah, I know, right?
You remember this?
Yes.
He drives off. Ford drives off on a fucking motorcycle where he makes his peace with Ice Cube, gets on a motorcycle, drives off, and he drives head first through a fucking barricade, and I'm like, where is the concussion? Because this guy should be fucking blacking out any minute now. Because not only, I mean, they illustrate, okay, maybe he could get through it, maybe it's not as sturdy, but then like a piece of the barricade flies back and goes through Adam Scott's Hummer windshield.
That's right. Yeah, he even kind of does a little quick take, and we're like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah. So there's some mass to that. And Ford not only does this once, but maybe two or three times.
They're busting through a lot of stuff. And again, no scratches. At no point do their motorcycles ever break down.
Right.
Like they're just impenetrable to all exterior forces.
Nobody's bruised until like they get hit, they get sliced with a knife. Or something. Like
yeah.
Someone will get cut with a knife. I think Shane did at the end.
There's that one obligatory. Yeah. So they're doing the bike foo. It's Jamie Presley, the hardcore biker goth chick, and what's her name?
Monet Mazur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else has she been in? I know she was in Blow.
All right. I don't remember this movie. I don't remember.
She's cute.
No, she was cute. And I was reading up on her a little bit, and they were talking about how, like, when this movie came out, she was like the star on
the
rise.
Hot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They were talking about, like, keep an eye out for Monet Mazur because she's going to be the new hotness. And apparently, like, she just never reached that potential.
Well, but I can't blame the movie on this. You can't, and I'm sure she does. She's like, well, if I hadn't done that piece of shit Torque, maybe I'd be in, you know, Titanic 2 or something.
I'd probably be blaming Torque. She's not that good.
Mm-mm.
But she wasn't the worst thing about this movie.
No, she wasn't the worst thing about this movie.
No.
But she didn't transcend it.
No, she did not. No, she did not.
But yeah, there's that, you know, all of a sudden Jamie Presley has a knife. They're doing their bike foo. Literally, their bikes are rearing up like horses.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like on the back wheel. And
they both like timed it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just kind of like hit each other.
Well choreographed.
It was so... I just wanted this movie to end. At this point, I just wanted the movie to end because so much ridiculous shit happens. They sneak onto a fucking truck because they're trying to like get through a couple barricades to get back to L.A.
Border patrol.
And so they get in the back of this truck, and it's got a race car in the back.
Yep.
And at one point, like this truck gets pulled over, and they're supposed to go through the check, and this guy goes to the back, and like some just Deus Ex Machina cop goes like, "Hey, Ed, that's Ed. He's all right.
Let him
go." Only to have him be pulled over later.
I know.
Why wasn't this all just one scene?
That's what I'm saying, too. I was wondering if they were playing off of it or if they were going to do something clever with it. Like, oh, we don't have to worry about it because this is, you know, make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. You could have totally exercised the first time when they get pulled
over
and just done it here.
And just done it there.
And that's going to happen anyway.
And then they bust out.
They do.
And somehow don't hit any of the five guys that were hanging out in the very back of the
truck.
Right?
I know. Immediately underneath them. I also like how the car goes from standstill to 60 miles an hour, like in the span of like 15 feet.
You know
that's
why?
It's not a long truck. Why, Joe?
Torque. Because
it's right there in the title. I should have known. No, yeah, physics are ignored here and elsewhere and all throughout the entire movie. I also like how there seems to be a smoke machine following everybody around throughout the entire movie.
Yes.
Where is the smoke coming from? Like, is this like in some post-apocalyptic future where there's forest fires everywhere? There's always smoke where there shouldn't be smoke for dramatic effect.
Well, and there's never smoke where there's fire.
That's
like on Henry's arm when it catches on fire at the end.
I like that.
And the fucking gas that lights. At some point, like at the very end when he's chasing, because we keep coming back to this chase at the very end, where Ford is chasing Henry on his fucking jet bike, there's a point where the gas stops, like where the fire stops following the gasoline.
Right.
Like if you've ever seen the end of Die Hard 2, where he lights the gas and the gas like follows the plane up into the air and then it explodes.
Sure.
It's not going to do that.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Life is not a Roadrunner cartoon. when they're chasing each other at the end, they did this thing, and I don't know if it frustrates you or annoys you as much as it does me. But
probably
when they speed up the film, like of the characters on the bikes, and like suddenly everything they do is sped up. Hyper real, where Henry's turning his head really quick and like everything is super fast that they're doing. I don't think it adds anything.
It takes away.
Yeah.
That whole last scene like took, like you could have shot that practically and sped it up and do some tricks in the editing to make it, to give you the sensation of speed without turning it into a video game. Because that whole last scene is just like a video game. Like the camera is doing unbelievable things. I was talking about this over the weekend. What movie were we watching? Oh, I revisited Big Hero 6. Disney movie. And I was telling Jenna, I was like, one of the things I like about this movie is that even though it's an animated movie, and even though it's 3D, and you can take that 3D camera and you can move it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can have it go through. There's a shot in Torque here where there's a scene where motorcycles are chasing.
It's like a play.
It is.
it's a play.
Do you remember this where the camera goes inside of an 18-wheeler and then out the other end? That was unneeded. You didn't have to do that. All it did was take me out of, like, any realism that you were trying to convey here is now gone because you've shown me, there's no reality here.
And that's one of the other big problems with this movie is that they tried so hard to establish a style and it didn't work. It fell flat. Where they try to establish a visual style, this frantic visual style, kind of like Fast and the Furious, where you know, especially in the first one, where they hit the NOS and you see it go through the entire engine, and then like they take out and you come out of the exhaust port
right off.
That makes sense. It's kind of showing you what that stuff does.
The physics and the mechanics of the motorcycle, and I kind of appreciate that.
Right.
Because this movie is for motorcycle nuts,
right? But I just feel like in this movie, it didn't make sense.
No.
For them to do it. It there wasn't a function to it.
Right.
It was just to do it style wise.
Exactly.
Like, we did it in Fast and Furious, so let's do it in this.
I think there was a lot of that too. So yeah. So that last climax where the camera's going everywhere and they're just doing these impossible things. It's like I feel like anybody's in danger. Like, nothing's going to happen.
Unless you're standing behind the bike.
Sure.
When he revs the bike, and it, like, blasts.
Fucking fire comes out of it.
It blasts people away. There's a concussive force that comes out of his motorcycle that sends people flying.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's if that did that, yeah, no.
If you're going to create this cartoony, comic booky style to this movie, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, you have to do it consistently throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You have to make that a thing. Like, Scott Pilgrim establishes that early on in the movie, you know, and what's funny about Scott Pilgrim is that it starts off and it feels just kind of like a normal visually delightful comedy where it's got some like comic booky things here and it kind of does. And then when it finally kicks in and he starts the fights, for some reason, like, you've been subtly introduced to this world that it isn't jarring and it seems to work. Everything fits. With something like Torque, it's just, it rides at this high level so much and then it tries desperately to get you to care about the characters and then it rides again on this really high plateau that it's just, it's too much and it's not working.
If everything's a 10, you can't turn it up to 11.
No.
because everything just feels that hyper real. Yeah. Just to finish that thought though about Big Hero 6.
Sure.
I was contrasting it.
Oh,
with
I got
this
I'm
movie.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I got myself off that train of thought. But like again, it's a 3D animated movie. They can do anything with a camera, and yet they were so disciplined.
Uh-huh.
They shot it like it was live action. They shot it on film. A lot of the framing, a lot of the shots, it's like they storyboarded it like it was an actual film they were going to shoot,
uh-huh.
and then just made it animated.
Well, that's kind of like when you create a comic book, or you know,
yes.
when you story like when Lucas storyboarded the Star Wars movies, the new ones. I mean, they're crap, but at least you know that shows some discipline. It shows a care for what it is that you're trying to create.
Sure.
To try to be consistent as far as they look, and I'm going to give him this. I can't believe
Lucas?
I've gone from Star Wars. I've gone to Star Wars from Torque, but I will give Lucas this one thing: that with the prequel trilogy,
mm-hmm.
at least he stayed fairly consistent with a visual style.
Yes, yeah, I'll give you that.
I'll give him that.
But
little
again,
bit.
He can't take credit for that because that's ILM.
Yes,
ILM is what made it consistent,
uh-huh.
and that's the thing I have with this. Like, don't hand over your storyboards to a fucking to the 3D animators,
right?
Because they're gonna want to do all these crazy moves with cameras.
Uh-huh.
Like, discipline. You gotta. You're shooting a movie here. You're not creating a video game.
Exactly. Answer me this at the very end or near the very end when.
Enigma.
I didn't say riddle me this.
It was close enough.
Enema. Enema.
Enema. Oh my God. Worst supervillain ever.
Or the best supervillain ever.
That's true.
I don't know.
I smell crime here.
Enema. Okay. this is going way out of hand. All right. So near the end, when the big fight breaks out in the final part and Ice Cube gets on his bike and there's that one guy who's fighting Dalton and Val. And Ice Cube gets on his bike and, like, wraps a chain around the guy's neck.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, lets the bike go and it hangs the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice Cube says, "Ain't that ironic?" What was ironic? What was ironic about what happened?
Yeah, is that what he said?
Yeah. He looks at him, and as the dude dies, he goes, "Ain't that ironic?"
Well, because the bike chain that ended up killing him, that was...
It wasn't a bike chain, though. It was just a regular chain that killed this guy.
Then I don't know, Joe.
And it was, as far as he knew, it was Henry that killed his brother, not this other dude.
That's a good point. I don't know. He's a big Alanis Morissette
fan. Then she should have been in this movie.
She would have been great in
this movie. She would have been fantastic in this film.
Although in that same scene, okay, so at this point we've figured out that Adam Scott inexplicably is now the bad guy. Like, he's in on this whole meth. So they finally find the bikes that have the meth in them. Adam Scott shows up and... He shoots his partner first.
Yeah.
So he's got this little Latina partner, this little spit fireball.
Uh-huh.
She ends up shooting him.
Yeah.
Because she was wearing a bulletproof vest
uh-huh.
afterwards. All the bikes. Oh, no.
No, she doesn't shoot him. She blows
she
up the fucking bikes.
She detonates the bikes that are all wired that I guess our hero did that.
Yeah.
In the no time that he had to, I don't know when he did that.
While he was calling up Shane. Who was hanging out with Dalton and Val.
There you go. That's exactly
And he was like, "Hey, babe, I miss you." And she's just laying around being sexy. Like, whoever shot this movie obviously had a crush on Monet Mazur.
Oh, my gosh. I have a crush on her.
Every shot of her is just, like, the most beautiful and delicate and until she's doing bike foo.
Low
but,
angle.
But,
yeah.
But, yeah. Yes.
But then, yeah, why did she... So this FBI agent's been shot by Adam Scott. He's the bad guy. Does she not have a gun? She could have had a gun.
She had a gun.
She could have stuck up behind him if she was wearing a bulletproof vest.
She had a gun. Also, I don't think they were there when he set up the whole Deus Ex Machina, I'm going to blow up the bikes. I thought it was just him and Henry. So how did she know?
Exactly, yeah. And even if she did know that, why call for backup?
Yeah.
Don't
she
take herself out.
She was. She was loudly calling for backup.
Oh, okay.
And that's when Adam Scott heard her and started firing on her again.
Good call. Good call. You're
yeah.
right.
No.
But still.
It was a bad call on them.
Am I to believe that like she killed herself? Like she detonated that entire building.
No,
she
didn't kill herself because at the very end, after the fucking chase scene that I couldn't tell what was happening, they come back and he's got the rotor and he goes to give it to her.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? She's sitting outside the shop.
I do now, but how did she survive that?
Dude,
That entire building went up in flames.
The entire building went
up.
Adam
Scott gets blown out.
They showed Val, Trey. And Dalton mm-hmm. jumping from the explosion. They didn't show her.
Yeah.
It was just those three. But yeah,
last
somehow,
thing we see is her thumb on the trigger, and I'm like, wow, that seems excessive.
Because it's a cartoon, Joel. Because they didn't show us the scene after the explosion where she was like just sooted up. Like she just had black soot all over her face.
Yep.
That's and like maybe one hair smoking from fire.
And then she puts it out between her fingers. Her
yes, she licks her fingers and then that's what this movie was missing.
Wah, 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 wah.
I've gone through all my notes on this movie.
I have as well.
Yeah.
It's, and yet.
And yet.
I kind of like. Jeff is looking at me with furrowed brow. Parts of it were. Okay. Whoa. I admire the cinema. Okay. I have some friends who shoot films.
You don't have any friends.
I have one friend. He's imaginary. His name is Mr. Bigglesworth. He's a hairless cat.
Hairless cat.
No, who've shot some films, and I can separate the arts, you know, the cinematography from all the behind the scenes politics. You know, who are we going for? Why is this actress in your movie? She's no good. Well, she's on contract. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I think this movie looks great.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the stuff, you know, notwithstanding the 3D computer generated stuff we were talking about, and the needless, you know, motorcycles on top of trains.
Sure.
But it's shot really well, I think. I think it looks beautiful. I think some of the you know what I like? I like the, there's one tender moment where we're getting all that exposition from what's her name, from Shane,
uh-huh.
where they're on a merry-go-round, and it's like spinning. You remember that scene where the two of them, they're having a little conversation? He spins it, and they're both sitting on it. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a clever shot. They do an overhead, like POV, okay. and it's spinning around.
I remember
like,
that.
It could have been
after they had the weird, needless race for her to get home, and then he ended up beating her home.
That's the one. Okay. Yep, she's there, and so they're talking about his time in Thailand, I guess. And I was like, okay, that could have been just a throwaway, you know, two people sitting in a chair, sitting in a booth or something, having that conversation, and they made something visually appealing out of it. Yeah. There's little sprinkles of that throughout this movie that I admire, because somebody was trying to exercise their talent in uh-huh. this movie. And it wasn't the writers, and it wasn't a lot of the actors.
Yeah.
So I appreciate some of the cinematography and even some of the editing. Like there are some fist pumping moments in here where
I can't agree with you. I feel like the editing was pretty rough. There was really very little consistency from scene to scene, like with what was going on. Like there was one moment where I was like, wow, they were actually pretty consistent with this. Where they're at like the truck stop. Like miles and miles away, they're at a truck stop and it's raining where they are.
Yes.
Because they're both in the phone booth and they're talking to Henry on the phone. And we cut to Henry and he's outside and you see clouds in the distance and like lightning. So I was like, wow, well, that's kind of nice, you know, that it doesn't necessarily have to be raining where he is, but at least you're still considering that storm is somewhere. You've got a geography for your film.
Yeah. Some moments like that.
Yeah, that's just not enough.
A few far between.
That's just not enough.
Just a lot of effort went into shooting this film that I can't discount it. I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, Joel, you're not alone because
was that on your list?
Film?
By the way?
No.
Bucket roll?
No. Torque, which was made for a budget of $40,000 or $40 million.
$40 million. Yeah.
My bad. $40 million. It made $46 million.
I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, not the best return, but it wasn't a loss.
Why there's no Torque 2 though? It was a loss for us though. It's a loss of, oh my gosh.
It's a loss of an hour and a half.
So I misread on IMDb where it shows I could have swore that they counted time in minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that this movie was 124 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
And I was dreading watching because I was like, what the fuck?
An hour
and 24
minutes.
Why is this over 2 hours?
Minutes.
Yes. So when I figured that out, when that was pointed out to me, I was like, oh, thank Christ.
Which
There's
is
no way I could have made it.
Amazing to have like that short of a running time. And I'm still thinking, well, you could have cut this out.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You could have cut that out. There's no reason.
Characters.
There's no reason this movie couldn't have been just 50 minutes.
Again, those side characters. They did nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't help at all.
Kristen Emilion. Like, what the fuck is she doing? She just shows up. She's
who's that?
The chick that Val's banging.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Like, she has like shotguns. They all give her their shotguns.
And they leave her.
And they leave her.
Yeah, I thought that at some point she was going to come back in the end. Hey, remember me, bitches? You shouldn't have left me.
That would have made sense.
Right?
Yeah. No, but nope. That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Joel,
yes.
What did, I think you've already gone through
I
it,
did.
But what did Torque do right?
I liked the editing and then a lot of the way it was shot. I think there's some beauty
uh-huh.
in some of the freeze frames.
Yeah.
And the editing's not bad, in my opinion. Some of the See, when you and I talk about editing, though, I think we're talking about two different things.
I think we're talking about the same thing.
I'm
saying, just not impressed. I feel like this movie as a whole, it negates what they've tried to do.
Oh, it is in the red. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, this movie does not need to exist. Everybody is dumber for having watched it.
Yes, this is absolutely true. I see where you're going with it. I just don't agree. I just can't agree.
If I have to pick out one redeeming quality, that's it for me.
Uh-huh.
And what's her name?
Oh, Monet
Mazur.
Yeah, she looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she's aged because this movie's 11 years old.
Right.
But yeah, no, she looks really good. Mm. What I think this movie did best was an hour and 24-minute running time.
Crickets.
I think, honestly, that the fact that it didn't even make it to an hour and a half, I think is the best thing that this movie did.
Yeah.
It could have cut even more out, and I wish it did. What did the movie do wrong, Joel?
Okay, no characterization. Like, there's nobody in here in this movie that you care about.
Yep.
Fuck two-dimensional characters. These characters are one-dimensional,
yeah.
Joe. Like,
yeah.
they're outlines.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no... And even your protagonist... Okay, there's nothing on the page, but get an actor who's going to have some sparkle to his eye.
Bring something to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, I think of an actor, and he probably wouldn't have fit in a movie like this.
George Clooney.
But I think of Paul Rudd. Like, he's the kind of guy that you can give him any kind of material, and because of who he is,
yes.
he's able to bring some charm to his character.
I had no interest in seeing Ant-Man. I have no connection to the character. I never even heard of it. But I'll see it because it's Marvel and because it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And they'll probably do something. Did you see that new trailer?
Oh, I did. I did. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. And like I told people, because, you know, I get some folks that are like, okay, who's Ant-Man? And my answer is, he's just another Marvel character that nobody really gave a fuck about until they made a movie about him.
Right.
See Guardians of the Galaxy.
There you go. And that's why I've stopped, because I'm like, okay, there's a movie that I hadn't... I was not going to see. I was like, oh, I'm not going to see that. I don't care who Marvel is involved or whatever. I have no idea. A fucking talking raccoon.
Yeah.
What are we, children?
Right.
Please.
Right.
And now it's like one of my favorites.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's probably the best that Marvel's put out.
Might be right.
Arguably. I put it side by side with Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
I think Winter Soldier is so great.
Mm-hmm.
No, but so this movie, you could have thrown somebody else in. I totally agree with you. You could have thrown somebody else in to add some characterization.
What
to
about
it.
You?
I very much agree with you on this.
Oh.
That is just the lack of character. Like, you need to someone. You need someone
even
that
if
you
it's
care
a
about. Someone needs to care about, the audience needs to care about somebody in this movie to go on this ride and be invested in what's going on. Because this is a Disney ride. This is what, like the equivalent of going to Disney World, and when you go through like the rides that actually tell the stories of the movies that you're familiar with, mm-hmm. but it really like it abbreviates them so
watered
horribly.
Down.
That's what this felt like. It felt like, oh, I remember the story. This is the Fast and the Furious.
Right.
But wow, we're skipping over like all the things I liked about the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
The thing that made it stand out from like all these other movies. Fast and the Furious is not a fucking fan. It is not a perfect movie. It's not even a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about that first Fast and the Furious movie where I saw the trailers for it. I'm like, this looks stupid. And I sat there and I watched it. And I don't know what it was. I don't. I think it was the characterization. I think it's the way that they built, like, the Dominic Toretto character.
Yeah.
And you have these moments
family.
Where the guy's the family, and you have moments where they're actually, like, developing relationships with each other. And that's what made it work.
Yeah.
Whereas with Torque, nobody is developing anything.
When Jamie Presley is the most vibrant character and actress in this movie, like, that's my takeaway. But I love her in everything.
No,
she's
good.
She's serviceable in this.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's the characterization, the lack of characterization is what it did wrong.
Yep.
It really missed the mark. And the thing is you have the budget and you had people that had access to characters or to actors rather. Neil H. Moritz worked with Vin Diesel, and that's why he's gotten Vin Diesel in all these movies.
Oh yeah.
He's worked with Jamie Presley. He produced Not Another Teen Movie. So that's how he got Jamie Presley involved in this thing. He did the second XXX movie, so you know he's got a relationship with Ice Cube. And so you've got him. So you think of these other movies that you've done. That means if he would produce Not Another Teen Movie, that means he possibly had access to Chris Evans. Think of Chris Evans now playing the lead role in this movie.
And I did.
And you've got someone with a little bit more character, someone to bring something to this movie.
Yeah, sympathetic, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he was doing nefarious things in Thailand.
Right.
Aren't mentioned in this movie.
fucking underage boys in Thailand.
Well, now it's offensive joke. Thanks. Now we're going to get that explicit tag on iTunes. I hope you're happy. Sorry, Jessica.
I hope you're happy.
I hope you're happy now.
I hope you're happy now. Because it can't be a podcast without some kind of Broadway musical. All right. So if we were to remake Torque today, what would we do with this, Joel?
Ricola. Well, I'm going to start with the my favorite character, the Jamie Presley character.
Not Jamie Foxx.
How many do you have, by the way, before we get into this?
I have 8. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ooh, nice.
I've got 8 as well, but I've got a theme to mine.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. No ping-ponging this time. All right. Let me blow through mine.
Okay.
China, the Jamie Presley character, the goth biker chick, the mean chick. How about Lizzie Kaplan in that role?
Love
she got the dark hair. Uh-huh. I've never seen her really be like a badass chick.
No.
But she could do it. Adam Scott, the FBI agent.
McPherson.
Turned rogue. Jesse Eisenberg, of course.
I came so close to casting Jesse Eisenberg.
It's a little cliche, but
I almost cast as a different character.
Oh, interesting.
But I almost cast Jesse Eisenberg.
The bad guy, Henry, or one of the bad guys, the main bad guy. I love this guy, and you want to talk about a villain that you can kind of root for. Charlton Copley, is that how you pronounce
yes.
his name?
Yeah. From the A-Team and District 9.
Yeah, that guy is hilarious.
And Powers, I think, what is it, Sony? Is it PlayStation or is it Xbox? One of them is doing the TV show based on the Michael Bendis book, Powers. And what that's about is he's a cop who used to be a superhero, but now he's a cop with a partner and they're investigating, like, superhero homicides and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a really great book, and I haven't watched the show yet. I'm kind of interested in seeing what they do. But unfortunately, it got kind of swept under the rug with Daredevil kind of taking the nation by fucking storm this weekend.
Did you watch that?
Sarah and I have watched the first like 4 or 5 episodes.
I'm hearing really good things about it.
It's really good. Here's the thing. I don't give a fuck about Daredevil.
I don't either.
I've never given a fuck about Daredevil. I think he's got some decent stories, mm-hmm. but other than that, like, I kind of don't fucking care. And I feel like Daredevil falls under the same thing as Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy, where like 90% of the people that you're going to see raving about fucking Daredevil didn't give a fuck about him until this TV show. There are going to be a few people that have been fans, and I'll give them that. But for the most part, Daredevil is not.
No.
I'd never call him like, you know, ooh, yeah, top tier. You know, you've had some good stories. You've had some good stuff that like Brubaker has put together, and you know, Jansen and Frank Miller, they've done some great stuff with this character. But I don't know anyone. I know 2 people in all of the comic book fans I've ever met and interacted with. 2 of them that are like, I fucking love Daredevil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's. All right.
And what do they think of the show?
They love the show.
Okay.
They love the show. And so it's good stuff. I think you should give it a shot.
No, I'm going to.
I think it's great TV. I think it's good for Marvel that they've got a good, solid TV show and not just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know.
That's kind of,
that's what I've heard.
But
and Agent Carter.
This is really strong, and they're definitely, even from the word go in the first episode, they are tying it in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm hearing there's going to be some crossovers in some of the movies, right?
Speaking of Marvel stuff, really mm-hmm. fast, not to step on my comic life's toes, but speaking of Marvel stuff, they've cast Psylocke for the next X-Men movie. You remember her, the female ninja?
Who is it?
Psylocke? Fucking Olivia Munn.
Oh, you are not happy though, are you?
No.
You are not a fan of Olivia Munn.
No.
I love Olivia Munn, dude.
I think this is a horrible casting choice.
Because, now why?
Because I think she's a shitty actress.
See, why is that? Everybody says that, but I love her.
Because she's a shitty actress.
I only know her,
admittedly. Olivia Munn has proven that if you give the right people blowjobs, you're finally going to get a career in film.
I keep hearing that, and yet I loved her.
Talk to Brett Ratner.
What's the show? The G4 show that she used to co-host, Attack of the Show.
Yeah.
She's a great personality. I don't know how she is as an actress. I know she's on The Newsroom, the Aaron Sorkin. Hey, good enough for Aaron Sorkin.
She was in Magic Mike.
Good enough for me. I will not be seeing that movie.
She was in the first one. Why did you just wipe your mouth? Why did the mention of Magic Mike make you want to wipe your mouth?
Freudian slip.
Okay, I'm sorry. So going back to you, you cast China. You cast
for Daredevil. I cast
Jesse Eisenberg,
Charlton Copley.
That's right.
So Val, who is one of the 2 friends.
Uh-huh.
He's the Asian friend, right?
Yes.
Because it's like an after-school special.
Yeah.
I love this guy, man. Randall Park, who played Kim Jong-il in The Interview.
Yes, and he's also on Fresh Off the Boat.
And that's a great show. Have
it's
you seen
funny
that?
Funny as hell.
I caught 2 episodes, and I'm like, man, this is fresh.
Off the boat.
Damn it. Didn't even mean to do that. Dalton, who is the other friend. How about Taylor Lautner from Twilight?
Love it.
Wolfman. Shane, hot blonde motorcycle chick. This chick's been getting a lot of chick. I'm sorry, I'm being so.
It's all right.
Derogatory.
It's kind of the least as far as Joel's concerned.
Everything else we've said. This woman, Margot Robbie from she was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She's in the new Will Smith movie.
She's in Focus with Will Smith. Yeah. That's right.
Focus.
Not a it's just what I was thinking.
what do you think about the sequel? That Kevin Smith has got a sequel in the works now.
They're shooting it, right?
Yeah.
I saw him tweet the other day that not Randall. Who's the other guy?
Dante.
Dante is in it again.
Yeah, because he was Grant Hicks,
of course. So no doubt playing another
was he
Hicks
Grant Hicks
clan
or Gil Hicks.
It was Gil in that Gil one. Hicks. Grant was from
Dogma.
Dogma.
He was the newscaster,
the reporter. That's yeah. right.
Why do we know this?
I was a huge Kevin Smith fan, and in some ways are. But to answer your question, no, I'm not excited about Mallrats 2. No. That is not need to be sequelized. No. Why is he? What?
He keeps
what?
Going back to the well.
Clerks 3? No.
He keeps going back to the well.
Ice Cube. Anthony Mackie. Falcon.
Nice.
From
Captain America's.
Like, when people like, pluralize like my things father. That aren't pluralized. Yes. Yeah. The Batmans. And then finally, our hero, Ford, who was played by, what was that guy's name?
I don't know.
Who even knows? You'll never hear him again. But maybe you'll hear of him if he's played by Charlie Hunnam, I believe is how he's pronounced.
Oh, from
Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
The lead of Pacific Rim. I liked that guy. He's kind of a blank slate in a way.
Isn't he also in Sons of Anarchy?
Also, yes, yeah. And no stranger to bikes.
Yep.
So there you go. Charlie Hunnam.
I thought for a second that was the name of a show. No stranger to bikes. all right, so I went with a theme with mine.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I don't know why I went on this, but I decided that everybody in this film has to be related to another person that's involved in the film. So they're okay. Either like brothers or brother and sister just, you know, a father and son.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start from the bottom up. The character Val, I did not go with the same racial choices as they did. So the character Val will be played by Macaulay Culkin.
What?
And his brother Kieran Culkin would be playing the part of McPherson.
ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah?
Oh, I like that.
All right, so the character of Trey, the Ice Cube character,
yeah.
played by Jaden Smith.
Oh, fucking
but
kid.
Don't worry, he's not going to misbehave because his mom will be on the set playing the character China. Jada Pinkett.
Ooh. She kind of had that look in, what was that movie where she had the short hair and like a black eye?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Somebody go look that up.
Was Demon Knight? I can't remember if it was Demon Knight.
That may be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
go with
that.
Movie. And also, Daddy will be on set because this movie's going to be directed by Will Smith.
What?
Yeah, I got Will Smith directing this.
Oh,
I don't think
he's
ever directed
anything. I'll tell you in a second.
All right, so what did I tell you? Okay, so the character of Shane, the hot blonde,
mm-hmm.
played by Dancing with the Stars, Julianne Hough.
Julianne Hough, yeah.
And so the character Dalton,
yes.
I almost went a different way with this. I almost cast him as Ford just to make things awkward.
Make him like gay?
Well, no, just to make it so that way it would be like incest.
Mm-hmm.
I almost cast him as Ford. But instead, I cast Derek Hough as Dalton, the Dalton character.
Okay, all right.
And okay, so Slightly. Now the character of Ford. I went with what you went with last week. I went with Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
And the character of Henry would be Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
So
pitting
there we go.
Siblings against each other.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's my recasting.
That's fun.
If you've got any ideas for how you would recast Torque, if you've ever seen... Oh, who is your director?
My director? Because this movie is so frenetic and cartoonish and fast-paced. How about Baz Luhrmann?
Yes.
Finally do a movie that isn't a musical, and it's just guys, greased up guys on motorcycles.
Oh, but they would have to turn it into a musical.
Yeah.
It would have to become a musical.
I almost cast Ewan McGregor as Ford.
Baz Luhrmann's Torque. I need to see this movie now.
I need a hero.
So, if you have any thoughts on the movie, how you would recast it, go ahead and let us know. Go to Facebook. That's where you could talk back to us. Just go to the search bar on Facebook, type in the editing bay, find the woman with the bleeding eyes, and that is us. That's where you talk back to us. Tell us your thoughts and what we've had to say about this movie. If you got to see it, any thoughts that you had that maybe we didn't touch on.
Mm.
And if you have a movie that you'd like us to take a look at, go ahead and tell us about it there and we'll add it to the list.
That's right.
We've also got a website.
We sure do. It is not editing. It is editing bay. It's editingbay.com.
God damn it.
I was going to do
it. There's the first nominee.
No. That was all internalized. I was like, should I do it or should I not? I'm just going to get back to saying it because it's confusing. Editingbay.com. You can go there and find out all about the show and see some pics, learn a little about your hosts. And also, we have links to our Facebook page from there. We also have links to our Twitter handle, which is at the Edit Bay. Follow us at the Editing Bay.
Yes.
I don't even know the name of my own goddamn podcast.
Well, it's okay because it kind of fits the theme because sometimes you just tweet some weird shit.
I was just
going to
say,
Twitter.
If you are following us at the Editing Bay on our Twitter handle, you'll already know what next week's episode is because we had a little miscommunication, didn't we, Joe?
We sure did. Yeah. Because I was pretty clear in my text when I told you, hey, the week of the 24th.
You know what? No. To be fair, though, this is not the first time where you've like pulled the rug underneath me and like, oh, we're scrapping this movie this
but
week. We're going to do
another
movie.
In the text, I said when we were going to record it.
And I just saw, you know how like
you just ignored it, like Joel does.
I
and you know
it.
What? You know how you talked about earlier how you don't have any loyalty to friends.
Yes.
Yeah. This is why your friends don't have loyalty to
no,
you.
No, that's not true at all.
Because you don't pay attention.
My friends love me.
We do love
I do
you.
Have a
we
horrible have, memory.
We have a lot of love for you. Like you really are. You're kind of like the Jughead to our Archies.
Ooh, I like that. I've always wanted to be like the lovable sidekick.
We're gonna get you a crown
because much like in horror movies, like the lovable sidekick never dies. Yeah,
that's true.
Back.
You would never die mm-hmm. in the horror movie of our life. Mm-hmm. My life is a horror movie, being stuck with you.
But your body is a wonderland. It's like
you've ever seen 18 women cream at the same time?
I heard about that. Well, I heard about it on your podcast.
It's so good. All right, so we have that Twitter account. If you get our podcast through iTunes, the podcasting app, please leave us a review, a rating. We really appreciate that. It helps us out. We're trying to get sponsors for this thing because all this comes out of our pocket right now, and it gets expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to get some sponsorship action, help put together some more live shows because we've got one that we want to do. We've got one in the works, but we don't have money right now to put it together.
Kind of broke.
So we're kind of looking for you, but we don't want to do the Kickstarter thing.
No.
We're trying to do this like a legit business. If you're not on iTunes, if you don't have an Apple device, you can always get us on your Android devices. Podcast Republic and Podcast Addict will let you search the iTunes library and let you find us. You can't leave reviews or anything, but that lets you find us and all the rest of our Next Wave shows. We got My Comic Life with Jeff and Sam.
Awesome.
8-Bit Gladiators with Jeff, Jay, and John. We've also got the MVP, Most Valuable Podcast, where they talk about sports and stuff. Now, they've taken a little bit of a hiatus.
I was going to say, were you talking about wrestling exclusively?
Baseball season started, they'll be talking about that again. But they've had to take a hiatus for a couple of weeks, but they should be back next week with some more sports fun. So I guess that just leaves us to what are we going to watch next week?
Well, I almost wonder if we should tell them or if we should just force
follow our Twitter handle. You already tweeted it last week.
I know, but people are just going to have to go to our Twitter.
I'd like to announce it because it's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
We've got a guest lined up to join us, and it should be a good time. We're going to be doing a little movie called Flash Gordon. Savior of the universe with a Killer Queen soundtrack. A Killer Queen.
I see what you did there.
She's a killer. Starring Timothy Dalton, Sam Jones. It's going to be some good stuff.
And a teddy bear, right?
Max von Sydow.
Talking teddy bear?
There's a talking teddy bear in this.
The extent of my knowledge of Flash Gordon comes from Ted and the Queen soundtrack, admittedly.
Oh, that is a shame. Have you never seen it?
I have never seen
this
movie.
I think you're going to have a good time. And we are going to be joined, we're tentatively going to be joined by Devin Pike, who does some stuff with Alamo Drafthouse, and he's also a part of the Dallas Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is still going on,
it's going on right now. It's still going on right now. And so I'm looking forward to him joining us for that.
Awesome.
Flash Gordon next week. If you haven't seen it, go watch it so you don't have any, like, what the fuck are they talking about moments.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And follow us on Twitter in case we change our minds.
Follow us on Twitter in case, you know,
Joel inadvertently.
Good God.
Hijacks the podcast.
All right. So we're wrapping this up for this week. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Jeff.
As always, thank you, Jeff. My name's Joe.
I was talking to Jeff.
Well, you were looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's
confusing.
One heavy white guy is the same as another heavy white guy.
How's that shiner, Jeff?
Oh, man, it's so good. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jeff, so much. And thank you, guys. We will be back next week with Flash Gordon. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Next Wave Radio Network.
That's fucking gold.